Good afternoon, and welcome to the November 28th edition of Lambda Weekly. I'm David Taffet, and I'm here in the studio with Patty Fink. Laurent went driving to relatives with a screaming two-year-old, and hopefully he'll be back next week if he recovers.
And that's a big if.
To me, it would be. You can friend us on Facebook. You can download podcasts of the show at lambdaweekly.com. We are supposed to have a guest on today. I'm waiting for her call. It's Sonia, who's a singer and songwriter, and she's a friend. She's been on the show several times already, and she's appearing in Dallas this Friday. So hopefully she remembers the time zone change and knows that we're in Central. But she's been in Dallas lots of times. She knows it's 1 hour from where she is. Anyway, she's going to be at Uncle Calvin's this Friday night. Until she calls us, let's talk about other stuff.
Well, I was just saying as we were coming on the air that Tuesday is a big anniversary. Tuesday in 1993, President Bill Clinton signed Don't Ask, Don't Tell. So this is now 17 years that we've had Don't Ask, Don't Tell as of Tuesday. And it's quite possible that in coming December, in the next weeks before the end of the lame duck session, that Don't Ask, Don't Tell will be repealed. And it could not be more timely. So, it's an interesting coincidence, eh?
Anniversary. Really, it is an interesting anniversary, and I'm wondering, is the lame duck Congress going to repeal it? What's your feeling?
They say they have the votes. They really say they have the votes, and a lot of it will depend on how many, of course, Republicans will go along with the vote. What happened last time was they included in a defense. The National Defense Authorization Bill, which obviously must be passed. But at this point, it's not passed because the Republicans didn't vote through with Don't Ask, Don't Tell in the package. Oh, I think our incoming call is coming.
Yeah, and that is Sonia on the line. Sonia, can you hear us?
I can.
Good. Okay. We were just talking a little bit about Don't Ask, Don't Tell, because this is going to be the anniversary of Clinton signing Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And the Senate thinks that we have the votes, or it's actually Joe Lieberman who's pushing it through the Senate.
Right, right. And we think we have the votes. So that's an incredibly important thing.
And we'll see. Part of it has to do with when I was talking to Eddie Bernice Johnson, our congressperson from this area. She was saying it depends on who shows up for the lame duck Congress.
Right, right.
They can have their votes, but if they're not there, they can't vote. And whether in the Senate, whether somebody filibusters or not. Our guest today is Sonia. Sonia, welcome back. This is your, what, third, fourth visit to us?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. And we're delighted to have you again. You're going to be here in Dallas later this week. You're going to be at Uncle Calvin's this Friday night.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing you perform again. Sonia has a new CD out. It's called Blood, Bones, and Baltimore, Sonia and Disappear Fear. Tell us a little bit about the CD. How did it come about?
Well, I wanted to make a CD that was really about the roots of my being from Baltimore. I do really travel a lot, but I've worked with kind of this core gang of musicians for a long time, and a lot of times when I've done CDs, I've done them in Nashville or in California, not yet in Texas, although I do have, there are some live ones that I've done at Kerrville, but from the festival there, but my recorded, studio CDs are, generally a little bit more complicated, so I kind of just wanted to give the tunes to my band and come up with arrangements, and we went in the morning about 10:30, and that night about 12 hours later, I came out with probably, I guess, about 80% of that CD that's been in, so of Blood, Bones, and Baltimore. So it felt good. Violin, clarinet, saxophone, my Howard Markman, my guitar player, and songs about being there, and kind of like, sort of embedding myself in my roots.
Oh, well, that's kind of amazing to do so much of it in just one day, to have that kind of a creative day. Do you work in spurts?
Yeah, they're just, I felt this, it was a good chemistry, and when that happens, you can get a product that you're pleased with.
So who are you traveling with now? Are you just traveling with your one band member, your one disappear fear, or do you have...
The Texas tour, part of it will have Laura, part of it will be me solo. The show in Dallas will be with me and Laura, yeah.
Ah, okay.
She's percussion and vocals, and wonderful.
Now, the first time you were here...
And she's with me when I'm playing piano, guitar.
First time you were here and performed live in the studio, you also had a trumpet with you.
Yeah, we were touring as a trio for a while. She played trumpet, but mostly she played bass.
Yeah. I guess I remember the trumpet because the way we had to position you in the studio was we had to have the trumpet far away from the microphone in order to not just blast out the sound of everybody else here.
Yeah, really. Yeah. So. That's loud. It's a beautiful instrument.
Yeah.
And when it comes to class, right, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And that hearse really did have a nice tone.
It did. I love what it added to the music, and I don't have a CD of yours that has her on it. But I do have your latest CD.
You can get one. You can get one at the show.
But I mean to play. Of course we can. But I'm talking about to play on the show today. I do want to play something of yours. Let's start with something from your newest CD, Blood, Bones, and Baltimore, Sonia and Disappear Fear. What track would you like us to play?
Well, the song "Who I Am" is up for the Out Music Award for Best Single of the Year. So that might be a good one to start with.
Okay, so this is "Who I Am," Sonia and Disappear Fear.
I never meant for us. I never meant to fall. I never meant to ask. Oh, risk it all. One look in your eyes makes me believe I can touch the stars. I can kiss the moon with just my voice in perfect. Like a happy hunter in a sacred prayer, I taste your perfume nearly everywhere. And the priest remarks, what do you believe? I'm out of tricks, mate. Nothing up my till we're all dead and gone, our children will rise, and on that morn, the universe is one, queens equal pawns, and I am proud just to be. Okay, that I'm
And that is Who I Am, Sam N. And that is from Sonia and Disappear Fear. The new CD is Blood Bones in Baltimore. Sonia,
So you were saying that you're up for an award. What are the Out Music Awards?
The Out Music Awards are awards given to gay artists doing music that is being recognized by Out Music. I don't know how to really say it more than that. It just really focuses on people that are, you know, I guess, speaking boldly about their love, and it's recognized by this group. And I think Cyndi Lauper is going to be the person of the year that gets honored, but I think there's some other rather popular names of people that are going to be involved in the award ceremony themselves.
And when are these?
So it was going to be actually in December, but now it's going to be in the spring. They haven't actually released the date, but it looks like it's going to be really pretty cool. It seems like it's really kind of coming together.
Well, the song is wonderful.
If you go to Out Music, I guess it's outmusic.com, or you go to my website, you could probably find a link to their website and listen to some of the other artists and stuff. It's fun. I think it's a great thing. The other award thing that from the CD are the Grammys. I don't know if you have that there, but I'm in the long list for that too.
Oh, really?
Not the short list yet, but the long list.
Yeah, excellent.
Well, it's too early for the short list.
The short list happens actually December 1st, which is in 3 days, Wednesday.
Okay, so what category in the Grammys, or don't you know?
I'm up for Blood Bones in Baltimore is up for Album of the Year, and
really?
It's up for Best Contemporary Folk Album. And the single from the CD that's up for Best Single of the Year is Pack of Newport. And then I'm also up for Producer of the Year for a CD that I produced by a young violinist named Sam Weiser, which is the CD that his first CD, he's 16, is called Sam I Am, and it's also on Disappear Records, which is our label. And so that's pretty cool. And he's also up for Best New Artist.
That is cool.
Oh, that's exciting. Well, the song is wonderful.
Yeah.
You know, the title of your album is so Poe sounding. And being from Baltimore. Did that influence your title?
There's a little Edgar in everything I do.
She might be the reincarnation of Edward.
Oh, very good, very good. Well.
The next song on that CD either had to be one of the easiest songs you ever wrote or one of the hardest. It's called Call Me Sonia. So was it difficult writing something basically about yourself or kind of about yourself? Or was it easy or was it hard?
It's really just the kind of song where it's sort of just like kind of glancing out, you know, both into the room I was sitting in and then into, you know, a little philosophically into my life and my life's intentions. And also it's not, you know, Who I Am was an immensely difficult song. I started it when I was 19 and ended it, you know, so many decades later when it ended up on the CD. That was a challenging song on many levels. But Call Me Sonia, I was listening to a lot of blues artists, and that's the essence of this CD. And listening to their stories, and I was thinking, well, maybe I'll do this like Janis Joplin song, or maybe I'll do this Muddy Waters tune, or you know, or Stevie Ray, or somebody. And then I was just thinking, you know what? Basically, they're just talking about a situation that kind of bummed them out, or they were trying to explain something to someone. And so I just was like, well, I'm going to do that. I'm just going to sit down here and write my own little blues song and a little ditty for this moment, and that's what it was. That's what Call Me Sonia is, and it's the first time I ever actually used the Shub slide on a recording too. So that was more challenging than the other stuff.
And you used a what?
It's a brass. It's made by Shub, and it's a slide that you use on the guitar. A lot of times, people will put sort of like a kind of like a large glass ring, you know, for slide, but this is made out of brass, and it's you can turn it so you can actually use your finger on one side and the slide on the other. Anyway, guitar player probably know what I mean. I'll show it to you when I see you. I might play the song that night.
Oh, good. We'll look forward to that. Did you ever finish an album? One of the things, this is where this question comes from. I looked at the list and says, Who I Am, and then Call Me Sonia's right after that. So they seem to go together, even if they're different songs came from different, you know, different roots of where the song came from. Didn't it all come from the same place? One of them, you said, took decades to write. The other one, you know, kind of came out. But do you ever listen to one of your CDs and, you know, you said you just had this burst of creativity and 80% of the album was done in a 12-hour period in a studio. Do you ever listen to it afterwards and go, ooh, you know what I should have done?
Well, for the most part, you kind of always do that with your art because mm-hmm. there's pretty much, for me anyway, and I think most artists, they say that art's never really finished. You just abandon it at some point because
mm-hmm.
you always want to make it maybe a little bit better here or make it a little, you know, a little change here and there. The idea really, in order to kind of avoid that conclusion later on, was to make something that was organic, and clearly, you know, there's some dirt on it. but that rawness, that edge, you know, that, you know, quiver here or a little, you know, pitch moving here, or maybe a little bit, you know, levels on things that it could have certainly, I could still be producing it. You know, I could go back forever. That, you know, that's sort of a luxury that some of the names that roll off your tongue, you know, like Taylor Swift or Michael Jackson or Bruce Springsteen, whatever, they have that luxury of working on a CD for 2 years and really just getting it just to where they want it to mm-hmm. be, and or their producers and their record label.
Right.
But for indie artists, we got to get out there and, you know, and slap it on the table, you know, get up on the stage and play it, you know, and make it better. Really, the songs for me certainly, I think, come to life better in a live situation anyway, whether it's just me and my guitar or me and the other six members of my band. So for me, like, what drives my recordings is my life, and a lot of it are the live performances. So certainly I could go back and go, I think we should have done this there, but I feel very good about the CD, and thank goodness, thank God, other people do too.
Well, I love the lyrics to Pack of Newport. That's a really amazing song. And it's, I think, quite fortunate that you didn't go with, like, Benson and Hedges or Marlboro. That would have really messed it up.
the way that happened was, I used to smoke Newport, and when I was running, I run now instead of smoking, and that was really the way I stopped smoking, was to start running. And I used to reward myself in the early days of my running with a Newport cigarette at the end of my run. And I got to tell you, that was like, whoa, like, really, really, I could just do, like, two drags because there's just no way you can really smoke a full cigarette, at least I couldn't at the end of my runs. But recently when I was running, I was seeing all these crumpled, you know, trash packs of Newport, you know, already just crumpled. And I was like, this is so crazy. What is this? I'm running, you know, I run a lot around this college campus, Towson State, near where I live when I'm home. So anyway, the conclusion is either a lot of people who smoke Newport are littering, or they're just a lot, or it was just sort of a strange thing, like, kind of like creeping in from my past. But I sort of equate smoking the cigarette with you know, that yearning, that sort of, like, you know, lust for love or love for lust or something mm-hmm. in the song. That's the way it goes.
Well, we're talking to Sonia. Sonia, stick with us. We need to take a break. We'll be back with more Sonia. We'll play Pack of Newports when we come back.
If you're looking for an end-of-the-year tax write-off, it's not too late to donate your used car to the KNON Vehicle Donation Program. It can all be handled in time for this year's taxes. Just call 877-KNON-AUTO, and we'll arrange a convenient time to pick up your donation. The proceeds benefit Great Community Radio here on KNON. Call 877-KNON-AUTO or go online to knon.org.
You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM, Dallas and Fort Worth, the voice of the people.
I want to be your pack of Newport, living in your pocket, close to your heart. I wanna be nobody that's living smart. You can light me up after breakfast. You can light me up after lunch. You can light me up after we're making love, or when the meal's just a hunch.
I don't wanna be no wet pack of matches, a discarded lighter out of butane. You bet I'm dreaming. Perfect virgin who might just someday cherish your name.
You can light me up after coffee. You can light me up after dark. You can light me up round the neighborhood like your favorite barbecue song.
Sonya and Disappear Fear from their new CD, Blood, Bones, and Baltimore. And Sonya's going to be here in Dallas this Friday night at Uncle Calvin's. Sonya, on your newest CD, you've written 9 of the songs. You usually write all of them. Your 10th song is Worried Man Blues, and that's a Woody Guthrie song. Got lazy?
David.
I know, Sonya. I can pick.
That's it. I was just like, you know what? Let me just go into it. Yeah, no. No, not at all. I love Woody Guthrie.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, he's just cool. There's some artists that have actually been given some of his material in the vault, I guess. It sort of seems like the pieces of songs and poetry. Ellis Paul recorded one of his poems that's become a song that I'm going to actually do. I'm going up to Sunday night. I'm playing up in Oklahoma City at the Blue Door, and we're doing a night of Woody Guthrie songs, and I'll be doing that song, which I can't remember what it's called, this Ellis Paul cover of a Woody Guthrie song that he put to music, and Worried Man Blues, and possibly one other one. But I just like his songs. You know, I just think he's just really down home and just real, and, you know, just sort of reinforces my point.
It fits into the CD perfectly. In fact, I didn't know the song, and so when I was listening, it wasn't until I really looked at the CD again and read, and it said, "Except Number 10, written by Woody Guthrie," and I said, oh, huh. It just fits in. I mean, it sounds like almost, not you took his style, but you picked the right Woody Guthrie song to go with the rest of the CD.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, it's your basic blues, you know, it's kind of like the way the verses repeat themselves, and kind of, he actually goes into the chorus a couple more times than I do. I sort of spaced it out with the verses, but it's interesting. It's kind of just that, you know, that basic style that I guess, like, Willie Dixon and some other guys came up with, and it's just such a good form. Feels good.
Mm-hmm. Now, this CD is mostly blues, but that's not what you've usually recorded. your earlier songs, how would you describe some of your other work?
Well, I guess the essence of all of it, I mean, not so much in the, you know, business sense of it, or you know, because there's sort of like another edge for, you know, every flavor of the week, but, you know, I mean, ultimately, I guess you would categorize it into, all my music into a kind of a category of folk pop, folk meaning, you know, kind of authentic, you know, with acoustic guitar and stories and my voice always be in there, but... the pop meaning really just the ability to sort of move through different genres, whether it's a more of a rock sound or more of a country sound, or like in tango, it was it's world music, but that got really classified as sort of like as a popular sound. When it was up for a Grammy, it went into the world music category, and then they moved it into the pop category for the competition. And anyway, but so it's I guess you would sort of, you know, it's not pop in the way that you know, it's not got Lady Gaga kind of pop, but it's mm-hmm. pop, and you know, because it's not, doesn't really have that sort of angst edge to it, but in just in a way that it feels good, you know, just I guess in the way my voice works, you know, with those lyrics, you know, but the blues is you know, doing it that way definitely was a new as a whole format was you know, consistently as a whole CD was definitely different for me. But even then, I mean, that first song we heard, Who I Am, that's not really a blues song. It's more of a I think a folk song, really.
Mm-hmm. Right, but it fits in. It still
yeah.
fits.
Yeah.
It's within the range.
Now back to the title of your album, and you're from Baltimore. So how did the influence of Baltimore come into this album? How do you see Baltimore as your hometown?
Well, you know, I live, you know, because I'm touring a lot, I get, and especially if I'm in other countries like Canada or Australia, they'll ask me, you know, is the wire, or is homicide, is that really the way Baltimore is? And
it is.
I'm still, they even know that Baltimore exists, because sometimes you can say a city and they just, you know, people, you know, although people from other countries have a much greater sense of our country than we do of theirs a lot of the time.
Well, wait, though, there's...
That's true case.
No. We live in Dallas, and no matter where you go, people say to us, oh, JR, that show has not been on the air for 20 years.
And television is just such a very powerful medium, but...
Well, there's the Wire, though, but look, we also have the Ace of Cakes now.
Absolutely, and they are wonderful.
But Baltimore is like the Wire, right?
Yes, parts of Baltimore is like the Wire, but parts of Baltimore are not like that at all. They're small, you know, communities. There's the, you know, the area that I live in where Michael Phelps actually grew up, and some other people of notoriety as well. You know, it's like, you know, it's got its dark, you know, negative sides, but it's also got some really great senses of community, you know. That happened too. They're powerful and tight, you know. And I can't just say it's one thing. Like I was going to say, like the Black community or the Jewish community, because there are fractions even within them. But it's still good, you know. And you know, good Italian food and and different places. You know, there is clean air. There's a lot of really cool things about it. And it's weird. I mean, it's a little bit of a weird place. John Waters and.
I was just going to say John Waters. I was going to say, when I think of Baltimore, that's who I think of.
Yeah, exactly. And the Barry Levinson movies have like pieces of Baltimore in them. And you know, actually the guy that created Mad Men is from Baltimore, Matthew Weiner. There's some cool stuff, you know.
and Great Crab.
Absolutely. Yeah, and weird accents. Like I try not to have my Baltimore accent too much, but that we've got quite a strange kind of accent going on there too.
And I know what that is, because I try to not
it's
do
Baltimore
my
more horn.
Yeah, well, I try to not do my Albany accent and drink coffee. I understand what you're talking. Because in Albany, yeah. We, you know, I understand what you're talking on Washington Avenue, but I don't
there
do that.
There you go.
Yeah. One of the things you mentioned was your previous CD, Tango, And I think Tango's a fascinating CD. It had just come out when you were here last time, I think.
Yeah.
I think so. And I want to play something from it. And let me play. How was Shorashim? Is that a good representative song?
Oh, definitely. That's one of my favorite songs.
Yeah. Okay, let me play that, and then we'll talk a little bit.
Okay, cool.
שהעצים בגבולות לא אכפת להם איפה גדלים השמש והגשמים לעולם אינם מתלוננים הם ממשיכים להעניק אבל אנחנו מבינים אותם אבל אנחנו מבינים אותם אבל אנחנו אבל אנחנו מבינים אותה
השבים על הבנינים בגבולות עפים ללא פספורט הם אינם מדברים אנגלית או צרפתית או עברית או ערבית אבל אנחנו מבינים שיר מבט תראה אותי או שיאני אראה אותך תראה אותי או שיאני אראה אותך
העצים השפים האדם נוצרו בידי האלוהים
הגבולות נקבעו בידי האדם, אדם, אדם.
אבל אנחנו מבינים אותם, אבל אנחנו מבינים אותם, אבל אנחנו מבינים אותם, אבל אנחנו מבינים אותם.
Okay, and that was Shorashim from the CD Tango, and that was in Hebrew, or was it Hebrew and Arabic?
That's in Hebrew.
That's just in Hebrew, okay. And Shorashim
Although
means...
I don't pronounce the word anachnu correctly, I say anachno, and it should be anachnu, which means we.
Right.
And I hear that, and I go, ugh!
Okay.
I didn't do that right, but
I didn't catch that, but next time I listen, I will cringe.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm not supposed to say any of that, am I?
Sure, but that's what I was really asking. Do you ever listen to anything and go, oh, I should have done it a different way? Tell us how this CD came about, because you have the lyrics in four languages, in Hebrew, in English, in Spanish, and Arabic.
Yes.
How do you compose in Arabic?
It was challenging. The way the song, the title track from the CD, Tango, is the song that I sing in Arabic and that I worked with a friend of mine who worked with another friend of hers to make sure that the Arabic was correct. It's very, very close to Hebrew, and you know, being Jewish, I learned Hebrew growing up, but also conversational Hebrew and modern Hebrew is different somewhat. But and just different anyway from English, because the way, there are different ways to say things, and they mean, they have much sort of elongate, they have much deeper meanings, I guess is the way to say it, because two words that are very, that would seem quite different mean the same thing, but philosophically, that's the idea, is that they do mean the same thing. So it makes you think of it in both in the material world, but also in a spiritual way. But anyway, yeah, I just, yeah. You know, I work, a good friend of mine named Maria worked with me on the Spanish, and Irit from Tel Aviv worked with me on the Hebrew, mm-hmm. and Hannah worked with me on the Arabic, and they just say, you know, you go back and forth, you want to make sure that the meanings are right, and I knew the words in the song, the Arabic song, are words that are really the mantra of Disappear Fear from the very beginning, and I wanted to be able to sing those words in Arabic, because it seems to take it to a place where it can help. mm-hmm. The words in English are, the world is ready to disappear fear, a world that is not scared of itself or who it loves, a world that is ending hunger in the many forms that hunger exists. No one is left out. So tomorrow, when the first rays of dawn reach like swords of light to your eyes, begin the day like a tango with your soul, in love with life, because you are. And I wrote the music, Al-Alam, Dahizan, Liokhbiyal, Al-Khok, all in Arabic. It came out when I was working on the guitar, that melody, with those words in Arabic. It wasn't written in English and then put into Arabic. It was written in Arabic from me, knowing this is what I'm saying. So, and some of the songs are earlier songs, like some of the Spanish, like Cayendo was a song I wrote, Fallen. And it just had such a Spanish, you know, Latin feel to it. I had a feeling it was going to really, really be perfect in Spanish, and I think it's even better in Spanish, in a way, than it is in English. It just kind of completes itself in that way. It yearned to be in that language.
and that's interesting, because for most songwriters don't think that way. Most songwriters don't think, well, I wrote this song, but it really doesn't need to be in English. It needs to be in Arabic.
Yeah, well.
Well, that's you. Okay.
I'm an alien. What can I tell you?
Right. But it's a fascinating album. And the other thing is, listening to it, one of the reasons I wanted to play this compared to Blood, Bones, and Baltimore is that's the blues, and this so much isn't. I mean, it sounds like a different singer.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's just, I mean, I think we all have different feelings, and we all emote in one language or another, or many. It's, what can I say? It's mm-hmm. just, mm-hmm. it's just, you know, that's just what I do.
Well, and what she does is she comes and she sings and she performs. We need to take a break. Sonia's going to be in Dallas at Uncle Calvin's this Friday. Do you know what time the concert is?
I don't, but I'm going to guess it's 8 o'clock.
Okay. And we're going to be there. Sonia, stick with us. We need to take another break.
KNON thanks you for your pledge to our recent pledge drive. Now's the time to make your pledge count. Send your pledge to KNON, P.O. Box 710909, Dallas, Texas 75371. If you missed our pledge drive, you can still support community radio by pledging on the web at knon.org. Your pledge only counts if you pay it. KNON, Box 710909. Dallas, Texas 75371. Be sure to put the name of the show you are supporting on the check, money order, or the envelope. Questions about KNON's pledge drive? Call 214-828-9500, extension 234.
You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM, Dallas and Fort Worth, the voice of the people.
And welcome back to Lambda Weekly. I'm David Taft. Moffitt here in the studio with Patty Fink. Laurent will be back with us next week if the kids stop screaming. And
or if Laurent stops screaming after spending a trip from East Texas in the car with a child.
With a two-year-old. We're talking to Sonia. Sonia's been with us several times here in the studio. This time we couldn't time it just right. She won't be getting into town until later this week. So we wanted her on before she... Well, you wouldn't be here next Sunday either. You're going to be out of town, right?
Yeah, we'll be on our way to Oklahoma.
Yeah. So that's why we didn't have you next week.
Thank you for having me. You know, during the break, I was thinking about what you said about singing and different things, and I sort of gave you a silly answer and said I was an alien. But can I just say something about that?
Sure.
I mean, truthfully, David, I think my feeling is that... all joking aside, is that I'm really tired of, like, you know, the war that we're in and the one before that and the one before that and the one before that. And I think that through understanding each other, you know, and talking to someone in their own language, you know, reaching out a little bit, learning something is really good. And I really want people in Iraq and Afghanistan and everywhere where they speak, you know, Palestine and Israel and everywhere we're speaking Arabic and to Muslims around the world that, you know, this is what I think. And, you know, and I'm an American and I'm an American Jew and I'm an American lesbian Jew. And I'm saying these things, you know, and that's really just that I want to be respected and I want to respect you and I do respect you and just respect me. And, you know, and that the love is there and this world is there for us to share and live in and make it, you know, good for each other.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know you've performed in Israel. Have you performed in any Arab countries?
No. I have performed on the West Bank in a small village, and I hope to go back with the Guitars for Peace project and deliver some more guitars both in Israel and in Palestine. I'll be back there in May of this year, so I'm looking forward to that. I'll be performing at a festival out there and a big acoustic festival, and and I'll hopefully go there. I would very much like to be singing in other countries as well, Arabic-speaking countries.
Now, when you do that, will you be performing songs from tango?
Oh, yeah.
That would be great. You'll have to share with us next time you're on how the audience reacted, and that's kind of exciting to be able to sing to them. And
well, hopefully, maybe what I'll do is get some, you know, Facebook and more YouTube stuff going on with it, because it's fun kind of follow things that way. I've got, you know, the Sonia and Disappear Fear like thing going on, and it keeps people up on what is going on. I try and keep up with it. It's crazy.
Sonia, you recently got married, didn't you?
Yes.
Congratulations.
Yes, congratulations.
Thank you. Yes, it's wonderful.
Okay,
it really is wonderful.
So tell us, where did you get married? Because you live in Baltimore.
Well,
Maryland is not one of the states yet.
Well, yes and no. We did originally get married in California, which is, I guess, depending on who you're talking to, one of the states where it was legal, and we got married before Proposition 8 went through. Because we've been planning on doing it, but then I texted different family members and friends and just said, we promise that we'll have a big ceremony down the line, but we need to do this legally right now before anything else happens. So,
So you're two of the 18,000.
We feared that it was going to get crushed. Mm-hmm. So we did. We got married October 24th in Oakland, California in 2008. And then we had the wedding here, up in Baltimore on October 24th, 2010 for family and friends. And it was just really incredible.
Oh, okay. So your wedding here was just a Baltimore ceremony and party for your family and friends?
Not just a Baltimore ceremony. It is legal in Maryland to bring, it's recognized in Maryland. I am legally married in Maryland, in that Maryland law, like probably many, many other states, recognizes marriages from out of state. So while if you're a gay person, you have to go to Washington, or you can go to Washington, D.C. to get married and then be recognized in Baltimore or Maryland. So I was married in California, and I am legally recognized as a married couple in Maryland.
Wow, and so Maryland honors the full faith and credit clause of the United States Constitution.
Yeah, I think the only other two that do that.
Every state that recognizes out-of-state marriages recognizes it legally. It would be illegal to discriminate specifically against one group.
Yeah, well, Texas, we recognize marriages.
That's what our attorney general said.
Yeah, well, he's right, and you know, our attorney general said no. So, but I think there are only three states that recognize, and the other two would be Rhode Island and New York. I don't think there are any other states that are recognizing.
So that would mean that they would have to like actually jump out and do something like very discriminating against gay people. Like,
yeah.
Oh yeah.
Says
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's a good heads up for you when you come to Texas and Oklahoma. So just beware.
Well, I just, you know, I think that real love is more powerful than any of that baloney discrimination, and mm-hmm. I just keep moving in that direction.
Well,
and I've been able to.
We're thinking there are going to be three states next year that will legalize same-sex marriage, and Maryland is one of them. From talking to another guest that we had on over the summer. And the problem in Maryland was there are an awful lot of Catholic legislators, and they were afraid they'd lose the Catholic vote. And so a nun who's on our side and has worked for gay rights for years and years has been working with the legislature, and especially the Catholic members of the legislature, to try to get them to understand that while the Catholic Church and hierarchy is against gay marriage, Catholics tend to be for it, and they will, yeah, and they will not be losing their votes if they vote for same-sex marriage. And she's thinking very seriously that next year could be the year. And the other two states that we're thinking is New York because of their new governor who has said that's a priority for him, and the other one is Minnesota because what's his name? Dayton, Mark Dayton, who's the new governor there, was running against a rabidly homophobic opponent, and so he's made it. He made it part of his platform that if he's elected, he wants to see same-sex marriage passed in Minnesota. So those are the three that we're really watching.
I've done quite a few concerts in different states through the years, where we were coming together to get the word out, to get the vote out, and to, you know, just be loud and proud about the fact that it should be fair for everybody.
Well, you'll have to let us know what happens if you tour in Iowa, because all of these coastal states that are, you know, working toward equality in the law, we have Iowa right smack dab in the middle of the country.
Iowa's great. I was just there recently and performing, and it's amazing. It's fantastic. And they're so proud of it too. It's so good. It's just like see, state didn't fall apart.
Mm-hmm.
Love is louder than crime.
Right. Now, Patty and her partner, they're the anti-marriage people.
Oh, come on.
You don't want to get married, and you know it. Now Laurent, our other host who's not here today, he actually got married up in Vancouver. Before it was legalized. Well, was it legal anywhere here yet? No. Was it before Massachusetts? Is it that long ago they got married?
No. It was legal in Massachusetts.
Okay.
See, even Polka Jennifer saying it wasn't recent.
It was more recent than that. Okay. But, and I'm also the, yeah, right, I'm going to get married person. So Sonia, tell me what being married, what the difference is in your relationship there. Why is it so important as something more than just, yeah, I'm getting married just to make the political statement and, you know, screw everybody else, and that's why I'm doing it, which is why I would get married. But what difference, and I mean this seriously, what difference has it made in your life just in your relationship?
It makes a huge difference in that we designed our wedding to really include the members of our personal life as much as we could. You know, we invited as much of our family and as much of our friends, you know, in the U.S. and around the world, and many, many of them came to show up as a couple. This is who we are. This is moving forward. And I really, it was a Jewish ceremony. Mm-hmm. So for me, too, it really came And Terry was, you know, completely supportive of that. We worked with the rabbi as to what we wanted in the ceremony and what we did not want in the ceremony. And so it was a very, you know, and it was, you know, and it was attended by people of various religions, at least three or four that I know of, and some non-religious people at all. But it really makes the presence of who we are so much more connected. It gives so many people, mostly, you know, not gay people, a way to just say, I love you and congratulations, that's so cool, because it allows them to express their love and, you know, in probably a way they've never been to. I think 99% of the people there had not even ever been to a gay wedding before, gay couples and gay people and straight people, married and not married. And so, you know, and children, my cousins and stuff brought their children, who are all pretty much, you know, as couples, heterosexual couples, bringing their children. And it was just such a positive, excellent thing. It was just beautiful. And it allows you to move forward in your life in a very true way. It just feels like there's some roots there. It feels good. It feels like the garden's growing and planted. And it feels very honest. And it allows this sort of connection that's stronger. And it was just so positive, and it's so much more than just, you know, standing maybe in front of God or in front of a preacher or even a magistrate somewhere doing it as a trio or even a witness. Because when we did the witness thing, that was cool in Oakland, you know, with the magistrate and signing all the legal documents. But the real wedding itself, joining with, you know, so many people, 150, I don't know how many people we've actually ended up being, but it was great. It was great.
So, to you, the private, non-binding ceremony and party and gathering of your friends and family was the more important part than actually the legal part of it.
For me, totally.
Yeah. I mean, even though the legal part of it, I'm not downplaying that or saying that, they don't need to get married, but I'm saying it was really the spiritual part.
Well, no, but I think in the annuals of time, and I think, you know, in the bigger thing, you know, when I fill out my taxes this year, I am legally married, and that will go on there. And I think through time, as time goes on, if people who want to research my life, you know, children or offspring or whoever, 10 generations from now, will see that it's on the books, it's on the records, this has happened, this is, you know, it's credible, it's real. That's not really my world. My world is more metaphysical and in the moment, but in the bigger picture of things and on the book somewhere, probably. You know what I mean? I'm sure it's more significant to other people.
Well, and ideally you wouldn't go flying to the left coast, so to speak, and then back. You'd have one ceremony where you live, your family, your friends, those you care about and care about you, arrive, and it's one big event. And
absolutely.
Because of the laws,
we did it in California because it was legal there.
Right,
we had to, and we didn't want to. We thought for it to be done somewhere where it wasn't legal, kind of was a nice party, but it's a little bit different. So the legality makes it important. It's important. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's important for laws and property.
Oh,
like
sure.
That.
Oh, I wasn't downplaying that part of it at all. I was talking about in your own relationship and how it makes you feel in your relationship.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sorry. I think I missed the end part of your question.
I was just rambling. It's what I do. I'm saying that the party part of it, the celebration at home for your relationship was really the more important part of it. Obviously, the legal marriage part of it is so important for all the laws and for all, you know, for paying your taxes and for getting your Social Security and all that stuff, and to make sure that if you go to the hospital that your partner can be there with you, your spouse can be there with you, and, you know, just the stuff that everybody else takes for granted.
Well, we're hoping, when Aaron and I get married, we want to be able to do that in one fell swoop.
Oh, so you're just waiting for Texas.
Well, we'd like to do it where we live.
And I understand that. There are a lot of people who've been on the show that we've talked about this with. Candy Markham's one who comes on regularly, who she and her partner have been together
30 years,
something like that, and she's keeps saying, no, I want to get married here. So, yeah. So that's important to some people. Sonia, we're going to go out with a little bit of music, a little bit more music from you. And this will be from your new CD, Blood, Bones, and Baltimore, Sonia and Disappear Fear. Sonia's going to be here in Dallas Friday night performing. I was thinking we'd go out with Worried Man Blues because the lazy song that you didn't bother writing.
Excellent. Yeah, my lazy song.
And you're welcome to smack him when you see him on Friday night.
Oh, she will.
Sonia. Okay, in the meantime, you take care of it. Thanks so much for having me and sharing everything.
And good luck on the App Music Award.
Thank you.
Good luck on the Grammys.
Thank you.
I want to see somebody that I know up there winning.
Absolutely.
Excellent. Well, I'll let you know. You can get a tuxedo.
We'll come.
Thanks so much, Sonia.
And we're going out with...
Thank you.
We're going out with Worried Man Blues.
When I awoke, I had shackles on my feet. It takes a worried man to sing a worried song. It takes a worried man to sing a worried song. I'm worried now, but I won't be worried long. 21 links of chain around my leg. 21 links of chain around my leg, and on each link, the initials of my name. It takes a worried man to sing a worried song. It takes a worried man to sing a worried song. I'm worried now, but I won't be worried long. I asked that judge, what's gonna be my fine? I asked that judge, what's gonna be my fine? 21 years on the Rocky Mountain line. That train pulled out 21 coaches long. That train pulled out 21 coaches long. And the woman I love is on that train and gone. It takes a worried man to sing a worried song. It takes a worried man to sing a worried song. I'm worried now, but I won't be worried long. 21 years to pay my awful crime. 21 years to pay my awful crime. 21 years, and I still got 99. It takes a worried man to sing a worried song. It takes a worried man to sing a worried song. I'm worried now, but I won't.